It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and it's time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. And sticking with our theme tonight, let's talk about the relationship with the old and the new when it comes to Chicago development. There's been a lot made of the mega projects on their way to Chicago and how they may remake the city. Developments like Lincoln Yards and the North Branch of the Chicago River have come under fire from politicians and protesters alike. And now many are asking the same questions about the proposed development along the South Branch of the Chicago River, the 78. But Chicago is not a city that has a history of waiting for change. It moves forward. As Chicago city planner Daniel Burnham famously said, make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood. But I'm not sure that Burnham was tasked with figuring out how traffic was going to get across the North Avenue Bridge. Well, that's another story. But is there a cost to Chicago slowing down or delaying these major projects? The Chicagoland Association of General Contractors believes so. The executive director, Dan McLaughlin, penned a letter to the Chicago Tribune earlier this month talking about this very subject, and he joins me tonight. Dan, thanks for being here.
How you doing?
Good, good. You know, a week ago I had people on to talk about delaying development, transparency, this right. idea that we're moving too fast in these mega developments, specifically with Lincoln Yards. But in your letter, you had a different take on this, that slowing down is actually can have detriment to our economy. Explain.
Well, I think it can, but I also want to say I don't know that this is moving all as fast as everybody thinks. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes with the planning department, the planning staff of the city, long before it starts the public hearing process and public meetings. So there's a lot of work going on for a long time before the public sees it. So, and the staff does their job. They know what the neighborhoods need. They know how city Chicago, what the demands are and that. So they try and work those out, some of those ideas out with the developers before it gets to a relatively final plan. But I do think, delaying has the potential to lose some of these big projects. When you have a major delay, you're taking a couple of chances. First of all, the economy has been very strong for a long time. Everybody knows and expects there's going to be a correction in the economy. Next year, the year after, we don't know. But at some point, there's going to be a correction in the economy where things slow down. Money becomes hard to borrow, or money becomes so expensive that some projects will all of a sudden won't work. The other problem is major delays. And the developers have the potential of losing some of the commercial tenants that they were courting and expected
putting
to put
together
those developments. So there's a lot of things you have to think about. I get the idea of at least making sure, slowing down enough to make sure you get everything right, but I think that's what the planning department and planning staff does real well behind the scenes in the early stages.
And you representing the Association of General Contractors, you also look at the economic indicators when it comes to jobs. There are so many jobs that are available for people who are going to be on the site and be able to work on these projects.
Right. Well, the projects like Lincoln Yards you're talking about, 78, those will produce thousands and thousands of jobs and hundreds of contractors, work for hundreds of contractors. So they're very valuable for the economy in Chicago. But I would say a lot of people, at least in the business, you hear people talking about counting cranes downtown. And I think in the last few years, there's been an average of about 45 or 50 cranes working at any one time. And that's a good indication that the economy's good, a lot of construction's going on. But those cranes for the last few years don't touch or don't take into account Lincoln Yards, which is a $5 to $6 billion project. 78 is a $6 to $7 billion project. O'Hare expansion is $8.5 billion.
Those are all on the way.
They're on the way. Right. They're on the way. You got the improvements for the Cook County Hospital. You got the Obama Library. There's a lot of work coming up. So, but that's good. It's good for the economy. It's good for producing jobs. It's something that we're in a unique position right now, and it's a very positive position. And a lot of major delays could really affect that.
Dan, I've talked about this before on the Download in Chicago Business, talking about the need for more skilled work. General contractors will tell you, if you go talk to them, they'll say, I'm up to my eyeballs. It's not like it was 10 years ago where people were looking for any odd job they could pick up. There are a lot, and a lot of construction firms and general contracting firms that just don't have the manpower.
Absolutely.
How do you recruit? How do you deal when you have 40-some-odd cranes up in the air and $6 billion projects waiting to come next? Yeah. How do you see you can't recruit fast enough?
And that there's something to that. But there's a couple other factors. I want to reinforce what you just said. There is a huge demand for jobs right now because of construction so good. But nationally, too, the AGC reported, the Department of Labor reported just recently, there's 88,000-plus job openings in the construction industry, the most of any particular industry.
Wow.
But there's the idea of trying to recruit people for that. The apprentice schools for all the different trades, plumbers, carpenters, electricians, all the different trades are constantly running apprentice programs, and they've been adding more classes and taking on more apprentices lately to try and do that. We're also kind of spearheading a program, or trying to put together a program with the developers, labor, mm-hmm. the community, to try and increase the number of minorities in construction as well. So there's kind of two things. We need bodies.
We need bodies.
We need more workers because there's a demand. And I'll also add that about half the industry is over 49, which means in the next 10 years, while all these big projects are coming on,
right.
a lot of retirements are taking place.
It seems to me, too, that when you're talking about the number of jobs, when you're talking about 88,000 jobs that are open and you need to find skilled...
That's nationally.
Nationally.
Right.
But you need to find skilled workers to fill those roles. The old ways of apprenticeships and the old ways of recruiting and trying to get bodies to do this kind of work, does there have to be a wholesale change? Because we've seen trade schools at the public school level kind of go away and dissipate, and less of an investment across the board for municipalities when it comes to skilled workers. They've gone into higher education instead. Does there need to be a wholesale change at the government, both federal and local, to think, you know what, there are so many jobs that are open, we need to start investing more money into trade schools and trade programs to help with the AGCs and the others that are trying to get these things done?
Well, that is true, and the city of Chicago, Mayor Rahm Emanuel has worked on a few programs with a couple of the local high schools and making them more encouraging trades for the high school students. But there's also several organizations like Cisco. I'm on the board of Cisco, and their main function is to go out to all the high schools and talk to kids about the opportunities in construction and what kind of jobs are out there, the benefits, all that. Because And I'm guilty of it, too. I have four kids and wanted to see them go to college. But there are people out there that maybe aren't interested in going to college, would rather start working with their hands and making money right away.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Those people have to know where the opportunities are. So I think a big part of the burden is on the industry to get the word out on where do you go for
to get that done,
to get the information for those jobs. We started, the Chicago Associated General Contractors started a few years ago a website called buildillinois.com, and that's the main purpose of buildillinois.com, is for students or young adults to be able to go on that website and learn about all the different trades that are out there, and how do you make contact with the apprentice schools, how do you get into the industry. So that website is a good starting point for
right.
a lot of people. We also put a series of posters out and sent them to all the high schools and junior colleges to kind of drive kids to that. Now, we're not trying to discourage anybody from going to college. We just want the students that are thinking they may or may not want to go to college, at least know there's another option out there. And it's a good option. It's not, these aren't just jobs. These are careers with benefits.
Yeah, obviously. And because you have seen for the last decade 40 some odd cranes up at any given time. We're not talking about 40, just counting them right now. And wow, this is a record. This is a consistent construction boom right now in Chicago.
Well, it has been for a few years. But you go back to the 2010 recession, and you know the industry kind of had a triple whammy. You get the economy tanked, and there wasn't enough work for people. So the people that could retired.
Right.
Other people couldn't find enough work, so they went into a different field altogether and didn't return. And the third thing was the apprentice schools, a lot of them cut back on their classes or even stopped for a year or two. So that 2010-2011 period. really was took a hit on the industry.
Let me ask you about minority hiring, because you'll see a lot of stories pop up in the news when it comes to projects that are in minority neighborhoods. So you'll see the Obama Presidential Center in Jackson Park, or you'll see the extension of the Red Line 95th Street. But there seems to be a desire for communities to hire their own, and that seems like a very normal concept.
Absolutely.
So does when you're at the association and otherwise, do you subscribe to that notion that
absolutely
minority hiring should be in the neighborhoods that they come from?
Yeah, when you deal with the general contractors that I deal with, the bigger contractors, they all have their own program to try and recruit minorities. And there's probably 50 or 60 different neighborhood organizations and churches that all try and take kids and teach them some pre-apprentice skills and job skills, and then try and get them into either jobs or apprentice programs. So there's all kinds of programs out there, just maybe not as coordinated as it should be, and a lot of times people don't know where to go to get into those programs.
Right.
So we're trying to help coordinate some of that, and we're working with the Chicago Federation of Labor and some of the other labor organizations that are working with us and the developers. It's kind of unique right now because the developers, the labor leaders, the contractors, and the neighborhood representatives are talking more and more now than they ever have. So that's a good thing, and hopefully we'll have some positive results soon.
Okay, so here, the theme tonight, the theme of the show is old versus new, or out with the old and in the new. When I think of development and I think of contract, that kind of part and parcel to the whole concept. Chicago is a place that has on the surface this reputation of getting rid of its history. Looking at a building and saying, you know what, we could build a better condo, tear it down, put it up. And that's great for jobs, and that's great for general contractors, I'm sure, all the way through. But it does feel that we are less connected to our history than, say, some of the cities on the East Coast. Do you see it that way from your perch? I mean, obviously you have a vested interest because you like, your association likes to build stuff. But the concept that, do you see Chicago being a tear down city?
I don't. I mean, I think there's enough historic buildings that I'm a history nut. I'm a Chicago history nut at that. So I like to see all the old buildings stay. And I got to give credit to Mrs. Daly a number of years ago that actually fought to keep the old library on Michigan Avenue from being torn down. That's a great building. But I think the historic preservation groups that are out there do a pretty good job of identifying buildings to save, and then some just aren't worth it saving. So they'll be more useful. The property will be more useful,
right,
providing jobs and providing new residences or commercial spaces. So, but I think the city does a pretty good job. I mean, Boston's got a different history than Chicago, going back obviously to the beginning of the country. So they have a lot more historic buildings that are worth saving. But I think my times in New York, I think New York is a lot like Chicago. You know, if the building isn't really historic, then there's an opportunity here to build something new and better.
Dan McLaughlin is the executive director of the Chicagoland Association of General Contractors. He's in studio tonight, my guest on the Download in Chicago Business. Dan, thanks for coming by and
appreciate
sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Thanks.